Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing High Hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, High Hopes, High Hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo. Another edition of the House Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. As we hear the yelling in the background, I think your children are as upset as the rest of Major League Baseball, except for Dodgers fans, about Tarik Skubal. I think that's, you know, everyone's, it's been a long time since 29 fan bases were united in such a way, and just, I guess 28. I guess Tigers fans are pretty mad about it too, but we'll get to that. Obviously, we are. It's 6:10 on Sunday right now, which means we are 23 hours and 50 minutes, Jack, from the trade deadline. Obviously, there's already been a lot of action. Skubal, Peralta, all this stuff. We'll get into it. But you know, hey, first series win in like 3 weeks. Way to go, Phils. Getting it done, especially after just a, you know, we had talked on the last pod after the sweep against Marlins team that, you know, lost 12 straight coming in and the torturous way they lost them. And then they go down to Baltimore and we'll get into, you know, Painter and the whole thing and you know, battled. Shout out to Andy. But maybe like it was like low point of the season. We said if it's possible in a season where your manager gets fired in April, And the Baltimore game was worse. It was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, thank God they won the last two games. I think there, if they had lost both, there's a chance we're coming on here and being like, should they sell? Like, I don't even know what to, you seriously, you know, if they had, you know, and right in the ship, and obviously Sanchi, we'll get into it, was so big for them, and Wheeler, you know, didn't get a chance, but they cobbled it together today. But we'll get into the trade and stuff. But how do you feel right now, a little less than a day from the deadline, coming off a series win and, you know, a tumultuous July?
Well, it's a new month. We're 2-0 in a new month.
Oh, look at you.
We're 2-0 in a new month.
This is the right attitude.
Thank you. Hey, listen, I'm a glass half fullsman. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that. So, first off, just on today's game, you know, that's what the Orioles get for being unethical and and starting that game knowing that it was going to get called because they didn't want to face Zach Wheeler. That is exactly.
I like what this. The this is good get. Work by you. Thank good work you. By you.
Because I don't know if I can remember the last time a game. When's the last time a game was just called because of rain?
Oh, it's been a while. I mean, it happens every once in a while, obviously, but like that one was particularly weird too, because it was such a clear they shouldn't be playing, but they're trying to play one where, you know, it wasn't like the rain was just steady. It wasn't like it was torrential, and that's why they kept playing. But when you got the shots where they would take the side shots of the field and you could see just how it was like puddles in the infield. It was like, what are we doing here, man? This is it was embarrassing. It was an embarrassing situation. And clearly that one time where they're like, came out, and they're like, looks like we're playing. And then they delayed it like a little bit later. Then another double delay. And then obviously I totally agree with you. It was an embarrassment. Thank God the Phillies built a big enough lead where it was like, all right, we could just be done with this thing. But yeah, I think it was an appropriate way to end the series down in Baltimore. I think it started gross and it ended gross, but at least the Phillies came out on top.
I mean, I haven't seen puddles like that on a baseball field since Game 5 in 2008. I mean,
look at you.
There was some serious puddles. It was crazy. It was crazy.
It was dangerous. It's not safe for players to play in that. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, that's
it. I mean, Jose Alvarado won't pitch if the mound isn't like exactly how he wants it. You're going to get freaking puddles. Come on.
No, I'm glad you brought that point up. And it makes me think about why Trey was trying to steal in a mudstorm.
I know.
Like, what are we doing?
The guy won't steal if it's a normal game, but, you know, mudstorm, sure, let's go.
Yeah. So I would have to ask Buzz this because this is something that Buzz would know. Mm-hmm. That's how his brain works. Mm-hmm. But I think that was a 5-0 Phils win and not an 8-0 Phils win because the inning didn't finish. That's a technically a 5-0 Phils win.
Oh, that's a wild one. I Buzz. Oh my God. Buzz is probably salivating at the mouth if that's the case. He's probably can't wait to tell everyone he knows. Can you believe it? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Last time this happened, blah, 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 blah.
Of course. So yeah. And just to get to the series first, and then we'll get to all the deadline stuff. I think the biggest thing that happened today was Wheeler looked like the velocity was back. And I think
The giddy up was so there.
I think it's safe to say that his last start was a mix of maybe dead arm or ball not coming out of his hand very well and whatever sickness he was dealing with. And I like that after the game, he didn't make any excuses saying, hey, I was sick. I feel like the Phillies are trying to make that a thing, but it's clear that at least affected him. So for me to be at ease and feel better about this, him coming out and looking like Zach Wheeler for the time that we saw him out there, I mean, just royally screwed my fantasy team. I'm going to lose an ERA matchup this week because Wheeler went 2 innings, and that is just disgusting because I need wins now. We got to start stacking dubs in fantasy baseball. So Wheeler, that was really important. The offense deserves credit, I think, in this series a good amount. Like Friday, they mostly – for this offense, they did their job on Friday night. The bullpen did not do their job. Mm-hmm. And what was encouraging today is that they added on. And they didn't let the Orioles kind of hang around. They kept scoring, putting together good at-bats. And for the first time since April 21st,
Bryce
hit a home run against a left-handed pitcher. And, dude, him in the dugout, I haven't seen him that excited in forever when it comes to hitting a big – it wasn't even a big home run, but hitting a home run. He was fired up. So, you know, that win last night,
isn't it many home runs, period, you know, much less against a lefty the last, month. You know, it's been a struggle.
Listen, we're at 23. We're at 23. It's so funny.
The month. Yeah, rough month. You didn't know that when he talked, everyone let you know he stinks this month. That was the number one thing.
Yeah, well, he has said that multiple times, and I want people to point that out instead of always having agenda against all three. It is so funny, though, because, like, people are always like, oh, man, like, Pete Alonso. Like, dude, Bryce is the same numbers, and everyone's like, oh, Pete Alonso, and then little old Brycey just trugging along with an 850 some OPS, 23 home runs. Like, just let the boy live a little bit. All right, let the guy live. So, you know, the bummer of this week, James, is that realistically they could have gone 5-2. I mean,
yeah, should have. You could argue, yeah,
should have. Yes, I think should have is the correct way to say it. They should have gone.
Well, especially coming off that tough stretch of teams they had. Like, this was the stretch where it's like you had these teams that come out. I know you had the Nats, you had someone else, not that difficult. Like, this is the stretch where you kind of should have made up ground on the ground you kind of lost with the lull and coming out of the All-Star break against good teams, the Dodgers, the Yankees, here's all that stuff. Like, they had a real chance with the Marlins, and I know they went 2-3 against the Orioles, but, like, this was a chance to, like you said, go 5-2, 6-1, and, like, get momentum again and start to head into the dog days and then the stretch run, you know, not limping there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They should have been a 4-2 week, not a 5-2 week.
4-2, excuse me. Yeah, or 5-1 theoretically. I mean, and you know, going in at least.
Yeah, and because to this team's credit, and I was talking about this on Friday night. Once again, it was, you know, meltdown city with the baseball team. You know, they're not playing that bad. The bullpen's just bad right now. Like, the game Monday.
I don't think you need to say right now. You just
Yes. I mean, listen.
But it's particularly bad right now, yes.
We are a fan base that did live through the 2020 bullpen.
2020, buddy.
So, like, this almost, you know, pales in comparison to that. Oh, yeah, it's getting close. Yeah. It's getting close. Because that Monday game and
well, the games are more important, too. So it feels like it hurts more. Whereas 2020, even though they were trying to make the playoffs in that shortened year, like, we were all like, it's not like we were truly invested in that season and that team making the playoffs. We knew they weren't winning the World Series. Like, this team, we have such high hopes for, and even if we have high hopes or not, the expectations are high. So it just hits harder when the bullpen stinks.
Yeah. Well, 2020 it was the ultimate in hindsight. I'm glad they didn't make the playoffs. So
totally. Oh my God, how much would that have ruined it? No fans. The whole thing would have been brutal.
Yeah.
They would have made it with an under 500 record that was like 29-31. I think got in or whatever. It's like,
yeah. It's actually that five game series down in Miami was a good thing.
Thank God. What a win.
Yeah. So Brandon Workman and Heath Hembree are actually heroes when you really think about it.
It's good work by you. They gave us 2022. That wouldn't have been nearly as special. Yeah.
Hey,
thanks.
Hey. As I was trying to explain to some people on Friday, you got to go through the tough times to get to the great times. And that, dude, the amount of people that tell me on a daily basis to give up on the Phillies.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And it's like,
it's got to be a combo of that and are you okay? Like, those are probably the two, like, energies you get your way.
So I got a couple. I got a lot of energy my way.
Oh, and also, like, you idiot. I'm sure you get that too.
Yeah. Well, no, the other one to add to the mix of the Fritz hate in the replies is this is what you get for how I talk about your little quarterback. So
I get it. Yeah.
So, you know, the Eagles only fans in the city, they like to remind me of that every time the Phillies lose, which is fine. You know, on that one, I deserve it. But on the
to, like, keep that same energy for each kind of vibe thing, yeah.
Hey, guess what? I won't anyway. But the people tell me to give up on the team. Like, what are we talking about? Like, this
yeah,
is
I know.
For as much as it sucks and you hate it and it's a gut punch and but, like, these are the blisters and the scars that build. So when they win, it matters that much more. I think post COVID, you've seen a lot more of, like, checking out the team sucks rather than you know gritting it out and watching night in, night out.
So I love how romantic you're getting. How can you not be romantic about baseball? Shout out to Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Moneyball. I fully agree with everything you're saying. Sure. I really do.
You seem locked in.
Yeah, no, I was. I think it was
hanging on my every word.
Yes, it was. Well, here's the thing that I was thinking about the whole time as you're doing it. Like, people know we're Phillies fans, right?
Right.
Like, the losingest team in the history of North American sports, a team that went like 33 out of 34 years or 32 out of 33 years under 500. Like, they, I mean, again, growing up, I was basically under 500 my whole life, or, you know, mediocre to mostly bad until 93, had 93, and then I had to wait for like Tommy to come to have any sort of relevance. And that's like, I'm in my 20s. Like, yeah. I was 12 years old for 1 year, and then my 20s before the Phillies were relevant at all. And like, and I'm lucky comparative to people who are like alive in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and all that stuff. So it's just, I fully agree with what you're saying, and it does suck and all that, but like, and we'll get into, you know, how the league kind of sucks right now, for a particular reason, but you know, it's just annoying. And especially with the CBA, we'll get into it. Just the whole thing's annoying, but look, anyone could win. I mean, the Blue Jays came so close last year. If they had won, it's such a different narrative of not three straight and all that. But, I fully agree with you. And I think you're right that like, this is when the you're kind of like heartened as a sports fan. Yes. And this is the, and it makes the joy that much more joyful. It's just, you know, Elliot's a big, you can't tell anyone how to feel kind of guy. And I agree with him. He's right. You can't tell anyone how to feel. So yeah, I get it. I'm bummed and frustrated and annoyed too, while still caring and wanting them to win and watching them, you know?
Yeah. Listen, I have come a long way in my growth as a human, from the standpoint of trying my best not to tell people what to do or how to feel and things like that. I do try my best.
Oh yeah.
Me personally, this is when he got to dig deep.
This is your wheelhouse right here. Yeah.
Well, because
you want to, like, you know that when the real ones, the sickos, are the ones who will shine through when these tough times come, and it's almost like a litmus test thing for you, where people will bookmark tweets or whatever. You could just kind of bookmark that and be like, I know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing all my old stuff. I mean, I pulled out all the old, dude. I gotta be honest.
I thought when you're like, I put the bet on the Orioles, like, people can donate money to me or whatever. I was like, yeah, I'm sure people are going to be clamoring to give you money for that. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Well, so to be completely honest with you,
You weren't before, but I'm happy you're going to do it now.
Dude, I was actually thinking about that earlier because I heard someone say, I'm going to be completely honest here.
Yeah.
So you mean that you're never completely honest?
Yeah, it's a classic. Honestly. Well, yeah. Okay, cool.
We all say it. I guess instead of to be honest, because I feel like I'm always honest on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is surprising or not, but Saturday night in the Fritz household, you would have thought that that was a playoff game. I mean, the amount of intensity that was poured into trying to beat the Orioles on August 1st, it was pacing around the room. You know, I was doing the pirate stand where I had my one leg up on the table and leaning it a little bit. I was
top, and you're stretching in kind of too, you know.
I was top stepping it a little bit. It was a playoff like atmosphere at the Fritz household, as you know, Sutton was not engaged at all at the game, and Walker was asleep. But
it was that kind of game though. I mean, until the end, we added to it, but like the 1-0 for what was it, 7 innings or 8 innings, whatever it was, like, and Sanchez just kept getting out of jams.
Yes.
And pieces.
Yes.
Like, so really, I'm with you. Like, I was not quite as playoffy as you, but I definitely, it felt like a particularly intense regular season game in Baltimore against a team that is, you know, not competing with you or good.
Well, and it seems like Sanchez was a little PO'd as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love when Sanchez gets fired up.
Yeah. I thought that was his best start in a while. Like, it was good to see him, you know. It wasn't perfect, obviously, but he battled, and obviously the strikeouts were there and stuff, you know, maybe not best in a while, but one of his best in a while. Cause he's, you know, kind of been hit or miss since the streak and all that.
It was a weird Sanchez game. It was a weird Sanchez game.
But he battled. Like, it was good to see him get those outs and stuff.
Oh, I mean, it certainly beats the alternative.
Yeah, that's my point. And we've seen the alternative mostly lately, is my point, you know?
And he did strike out a lot of guys, and that was good. And I thought, I thought he was making a more concerted effort to just pound the inside corner with that fastball and actually command that pitch well. Like, I think Saturday night, yesterday, was the reasserting himself or getting back into his groove. I don't think it was perfect, but I think that he is now back on track, like closer to getting back on track versus what he was before, where it was just slider, 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 no feel for the fastball, changeup, not really great feel for it. I think that that was almost a realignment, and I think that going forward now, you'll see much closer to the guy that had 50 and two-thirds scoreless than the guy that he's been after that, which is almost like he's been fighting himself. It was an encouraging outing. I think he found some things, and now going forward, especially with how Wheeler looked today, it's hard not to feel good again about those three. You don't feel great about those three, but there was some questions, and I think that they answered a lot. So in the Orioles series.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
All right. Last thing before we get to the trade deadline stuff. Andy.
Yes.
He was good. Talk about Painter. I thought, look, early on it was like, uh-oh.
Yep.
This isn't good. And like really battled and, gets through six, two runs. I thought he looked real. Like it was, especially for how, up and down and down quite a bit. He's been in the minors since going down. Like it felt like that start, it could easily have seen him implode and he didn't. I think that was my biggest takeaway from the game.
Yeah, well, this is a good example because you mock me. You mock me.
Me, never.
You mock me. Spike mocks me. Ike mocks me. The hundreds of thousands of listeners out there to the beautiful, glorious station that is WIP. They mock me for the amount of minor league baseball that I watch.
Oh, yes, sir.
And this is why it's important to watch, just like watching spring training is important to watch, like you just have to take all that stuff in. Which do you like more, real quick, before I get into it?
Oh, I can't wait, please.
Which do you put more stock in, training camp or spring training games?
spring training.
Yes, I could. That's I yeah. figured that's because they're at least they're playing, you know.
Yeah, and at least like, you know, like position battles, I feel more you could do. And like guys, at least too, like you can watch velocity. You can see upticks in like, oh, this guy has a new pitch that like he's working on. Like, I think in training camp, it's nonsense.
I mean, it's a little concerning. They haven't thrown a touchdown yet, but anyway.
I think it is. I would have liked they to, but I also think that they're going to have the best defense or one of the best defenses in football, and it's a brand new offense with new guys here. So, like, yeah, you know. Look, someone on this pod will make some excuses for the Eagles.
All right, just kidding. Just kidding.
Now's not the time. Who'd think right now the Sixers have the highest approval rating in the city? When was the last time that happened? 01? Jeez.
Well, no. I mean,
the Eagles were still higher, but yeah.
They had their runs in the end of 2018, 2019. Come on, man. Like, give the Sixers some credit.
Yeah, but they were still not over the Eagles then.
I don't know, man.
Bowls in 2018? Come on.
Oh, what 19 with the Carson season? That was a Butler year. Anyway, who cares? Who cares?
Anyway, yes.
All right. So he was showing some legit signs of life in AAA. You know, his fastball is up a couple RPMs, which is important. And he had adjusted his change of grip, going from a split to a traditional circle change. So I was trying to be cautiously optimistic. I didn't want to go overboard because it is AAA, but I thought it was at least encouraging that he was getting swing and miss, striking out guys. He had 14 strikeouts in 11 innings with the Iron Pigs, and he touched 99 six times in his last two starts, which he did once as a Philly. So I thought that was also important. So the velocity is up a little bit. I thought Friday night was really encouraging, and, you know, hand up, I'm kind of right and I'm kind of wrong. I thought it was organizational malpractice to put him out there, just because I thought that they were rushing him back up because they were desperate versus letting him develop, you know, make sure he's good to go before you put him back up here, and thus possibly hampering any kind of growth that he had had. So I still mostly feel that way, even though he did pitch well. I thought it was bad process, good results. And sometimes that happens, you know, sometimes that happens where there's the bad process and there ends up being a positive outcome. And Friday night was a positive outcome. I don't think it should take them out from going and trying to acquire a starter. That was one of my fears, that he was going to pitch well and they're going to be like, okay, Andrew Painter's our fifth starter now.
Sure.
We're fine. You know, I still want him to make sure. I want them to make sure that he is good to go. But, you know, from the standpoint of competing, from the standpoint of being more explosive on the mound, he talked about, you know, dropping his back leg like Jacob Mizorowski does to try to get more power and more oomph behind his pitches. That's really important. And I thought that, you know, Charlotte Varnes wrote a great article on Painter and what he's done up in AAA. And I think they talked about it a little bit on the broadcast, but instead of thinking like glove side fastball, he's thinking throw to a spot, like throw to an area, but let it rip. And that's a totally different mindset. That is the difference between throwing to the catcher and throwing through the catcher. I talk about that a lot. Like, throwing through the catcher is the mindset that you need to have, because it's just going to have you being more aggressive and being more competitive in the strike zone. And I thought with Painter at the beginning of the year, it was a lot of just trying to, he's so worried about like pitch shapes and stuff like that. And he wasn't being competitive. And I thought Friday night he was competitive, and I thought he was in the zone. I thought you saw pretty plus stuff. I mean, his sweeper looked nasty. Now I couldn't tell if it was the camera angle in Baltimore, because it looked like his pitches were sharper. But yeah, I was really impressed, really mostly with his competitiveness and his resiliency to allow the two runs early. And then he retired what, like 10 straight in the middle of the game. So I still think there's a chance he's traded. I do. I think between now and tomorrow, there's gonna be a lot of discussions about Andrew Painter. And I wonder where the organization is from the standpoint of, was that the beginning of the Andrew Painter turnaround, or do we need to get out now while we can? And I think that is going to be the debates that they're going to be having internally for the next 23 and a half hours.
All right. Before we get to the deadline stuff, let's tell everyone, August 13th, a week from Thursday. La Scala's Fire in the Northeast. Field of Dreams game. We're going to be there hanging out. Baseball movie trivia to win Phillies tickets. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great time. La Scala's Fire is, I'm doing it, fire.
Oh,
and,
man.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's get to the deadline stuff. We'll get to the Phillies in a sec, but you know, just off the top, quickly, your thoughts on the Skubal trade, obviously, and that, you know, the reaction and you know, the fact that, you know, I think a lot of people already thought we were headed for a potentially lengthy lockout strike, whatever, you know, it is, and then, you know, the potential for this to like anger everyone else more. I think that's probably, I don't know if it's that, you know, simple. I don't think it is, but it is definitely pretty freaking annoying that the Dodgers got Skubal. I mean, you know, it's like, all right, great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know where the CBA stuff is coming from today. If it signed Derek Skubal, if they signed Derek Skubal, I think it is okay. Like the strike's coming. And I think anything the Dodgers,
I think it's just that the Dodgers team is already so far ahead financially. And then they add that, you know, and just like, you know, highlights it, but yes, I know what you mean.
Sure. Well, you know, my tinfoil hat conspiracy theory is that Major League Baseball made the Tigers accept that deal.
Look at you.
So
Manfred
that
on the side of the owners.
Yeah. So that he
can. I don't think that's the craziest thing I've heard. I mean, honestly,
they want a salary cap desperately. They'll do whatever it takes.
I think it's a very, very fair conspiracy theory.
That's my tinfoil hat theory on the, I like it. Because I think Hope's a good prospect. That's fine. I actually like River Ryan. The dude's 28. Have you ever seen a 28-year-old?
No. This is crazy. It's crazy.
So I like
the only like guy who I remember, like, and he was going back and forth. The only guy I remember and he was like a prospect before, but then wasn't one. But like, I feel like Nelson Cruz broke out around 28 or 29 after coming up a few times and all that. I think he was a quad A guy, but like, it's crazy.
And the biggest ones, you know, Josh Hamilton, but that was first.
But yeah, that was extenuating circumstances. And like Nelson Cruz extended it. Like, I think a lot of guys have gotten good at 20, but haven't had like the careers to justify it because it took so long and all that, you know?
Yeah. And the last guy they got is just horrible. I mean, Brady.
I see what you're doing here.
Brady Smith has 0%. No, I'm just kidding.
We love him. He's so, yeah. People, is this common knowledge? Can we say Justin and
we can say it, but it's not common knowledge.
Justin and Tennessee's nephew, Brady Smith, the part of the Tariq Skubal trade. How crazy is that?
Yeah, no, he's awesome. I think.
And look, I think going to Detroit will give him a better chance to get to the majors quicker and pitch more, you know?
Oh, 100%. And not for nothing, going to that ballpark is going to help him as well if they. Yeah. You know, if he makes the big league. So, you know, he's a cool story. I think he was a third round pick
second or third. It was you would know better. I don't, why am I questioning you?
One of those two, a second or third round pick. He had Tommy John his first year, so that kind of wiped it out. I believe it was a 24 draft. And you know, he got back on the mound this year, was really, really good in low A, got promoted to high A, and then got dealt. So yes, it is funny though, because he was texting me a couple days ago about Brady. And I said, Justin, he's gonna have to learn Detroit, pal. And he's like, they're not trading him yet. And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, he definitely could be. And then I woke up this morning and I saw the deal, and I had to do a little double take because he was actually in it. Brady Smith is actually in it. So obviously rooting for him, and now that he is a Tiger, can root for him way harder than if he was a Dodger. So Justin in Tennessee, who we love dearly. On this podcast and of course on all of our shows, his nephew in the deal. But yeah, I mean, first off, my initial reaction was I'm very glad the Phillies didn't trade for him, to be completely honest with you.
Me too. Yeah.
I had this like feeling in my gut that they're gonna do it and it's gonna be dumb. And I didn't want him for 12 starts. And it's not that I don't think Tarek Skubal's awesome. It's just such a premium price that you have to pay for a guy that's not going to resign here in the offseason unless you pay $400+ million.
It's not worth buy, don't buy, whatever. Like, they're not worth doing the half a season huge package guy.
I would much rather go try to get four or five guys than one big all.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're not one all-in trade away from possibly competing for a world title this year. And I understand the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers must pay off the evaluators, you know,
to get their guys ranked higher. The Yankees back in the day, they're always those things where it was like the Yankees prospects were always ranked higher and never panned out until Judge. It felt like, yeah.
I know. And it's not like the best now this is not counting Yordan of recent, the best one to pan out is Miguel Vargas. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Is that
you would know better than me.
It's not like they're just sending guys away and they turn into studs elsewhere that often. You know, I mean, again, Yordan was a long time ago. That was like 2016. But in recent trades, it hasn't been like, oh my gosh, we got to trade with the Dodgers because they have so many just studs. Now, if like DePaula was in the deal, I think it's a different story. But we'll see. I don't know. If I'm the Brewers, I don't know how I don't beat that. You know, unless it was really going to cost them Jesus Made, where you're not trading him for half season. I mean, that guy's unbelievable, and I own him in two fantasy leagues and a keeper league. But like, if there's one team that should have done what it took to get Skubal outside of trading Jesus Made, it is the Brewers. But he's a Dodger. I it's almost like I have to put it like it just is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it, and I want the Phillies to still build the best team possible with the hopes of taking them down because, hey, they beat them 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Look at you. Yeah, one out of three, I think, right? Yeah, you crush them. All right. You're talking about beating Skubal. I like that. All right. So, yeah, we don't need to get in the other stuff. Nice seeing the Mets, you know, fall apart and trade off and that stuff not work out. But
yeah, and the Phillies are scouting Clay Holmes. They're scouting Clay Holmes. Come on.
So where are you at with the Phillies and the deadline? Obviously, we'll have pods reacting to whatever they do, but you know, as we sit here again, you know, less than 24 hours out, where's your head? How you feeling? And what are you expecting?
So what I'm feeling is that the second that we press end on this
podcast, of course, I'm going to go to sleep and it's going to be like, well, it's too bad, buddy.
So I think one of Gage or Painter are gone. Wow. I think one of those two will go, if not both of them. I think both of them is on the table.
So you get the feel that the Phillies are inclined to be all in-ish.
Yes. I think that they are all in-ish, but I think that they are protecting certain guys, and I think they are trying to maximize value on certain guys as well. So I pretty much expect, and I said like four or five trades. And what I meant by that is four or five players. Obviously, right, they can
like
make
two or three trades, or they get two guys, three guys, one. Yeah, I get it.
So I think the Arise stuff is relatively real. I hope the Arise stuff is relatively real.
Same. Oh my God. Can you imagine? Like, Phillies fans are so annoyed. That'd be like the perfect guy to get for them because it's like, oh my God.
Oh,
he doesn't strike out. A guy's going to put the bat on the ball.
Believe me. The only reason I don't want him is for the reactions of like, we've got Tony Gwynn 2.0.
I know.
But he's been great this year, and the defense at second base has made him way more valuable than, you know, usual as a slap hitting, you know, little DH/first baseman. Him actually being useful at second base is key. I think what's happening right now is the Giants are just asking an absurd amount for a half season of Luis Arraez, who they're probably not going to re-sign anyway. And I think that by tomorrow, that price will change.
I actually think
the prices so far have been low compared to
the Skubal one certainly was. It was like, wow.
Skubal one, not like the one that was, I felt like an overpay was the Mead and Early trade. I thought that was a crazy price for Curtis Mead, even though he's had a really good 2 months.
And then he got hurt right away.
Yeah, and that blows. Yeah. But yeah, I think the Arise stuff is relatively real. We'll see if they can get it done. From a standpoint of, I don't want to watch 28 anymore.
Yeah.
Being able to get him out of here and put Stott at third base, put a rise there. Stott, by the way, all of a sudden. No, It's a smidge annoying because instead of just hitting the ball, it's right down the middle. He's fouling it off, you know, and he works like 15 pitch at bats, which are great and they are fun. But also, if it's down the middle, just get a measly old base hit. But regardless, he's starting to get back to his Stoddish ways, and he's been really good since May 1 and June 1. Mm-hmm. He's been perfectly fine, and obviously the defense is good. And moving him off second base would definitely suck, but like Arise has been okay there, and you need him to play third base. And then all of a sudden you have pretty good infield defense. And you know, to go inside with Trey.
Minus Trey, yeah.
I think Harper's even heated up a little bit, I think, sure. On the defensive side. Good diving play on Friday. Was that what it was, where he fell on the ball that was like a cue ball with the first baseline? So the Arise thing would be exciting. I hope if they do it, I hope it's Arise and an outfield bat. I don't
like
think
Ramos or whatever it is. I mean, probably not him, but whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't think Ramos is moving. I meant more from the standpoint of Ward, Adele, Varsho, right. Jake McCarthy, like another outfield type bat. So the Arise thing is definitely pretty interesting. I kind of expect if I had to just bet right now, I'm betting on like Soriano and Adele, and then like Hoffman and Varsho.
That would be upgrades. I mean, Soriano's been great.
Soriano's been
cooled down. He started great and he's cooled down, but yeah, he's still like someone who would be much better than your fifth starter. That's for sure.
Yeah, and he's someone – so Soriano is interesting because he was like the best pitcher in baseball the first 2 months of the year, and then he really just fell off a cliff a little bit. I think the most exciting thing about acquiring or possibly getting Jose Soriano is I think he is an arm that if you give to Caleb Cotham, he will maximize. You know, he is just power sinker stuff.
A horrible organization coming from too.
Yes, and frankly, I hope they deal with the Angels so that I know none of my prospects will come back to bite me. I want to make sure that they go there because they will prospects go to die out in Los Angeles.
Horrible. Yeah.
So I think
they traded make away, right?
Exactly. So I think realistically there's a starter trade and then there's a bat or possibly two, and they will get at least one right-handed bullpen piece. I think that's it. I feel pretty confident in that.
I'm good with that kind of stuff. I don't want them to gouge the system, but I am fine with them like making moves that make the weak spots better and hoping that they get out at the right time and their pitchers pitch great and stuff, you know?
Yeah. And one of the pluses if they do acquire a guy like Soriano is I do think he would be a bullpen demon.
Yeah, I think he's done it before in the past. I think I'm not 100%, but it definitely feels like the kind of guy who has.
And just looking at his stuff, I mean, it's power premium stuff as a starter. You put that in the bullpen, and you can only kind of dream on what it could potentially be. I still really like Clay Holmes. If it costs,
and he's the Phillies were scouting him. The Cubs were apparently in on it, so it's an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. Maybe they get in the Casey Mize sweepstakes, who got scratched yesterday. He's got 2-7 on the year. Would be a full circle moment. But the nice part is that it does feel like that there are a good amount of players out there that are attainable. That I think that they will be in the mix for. You know, Lane Thomas, they didn't get. It didn't seem like the Braves gave up a ton for him either. So we'll see. But they got less than 24 hours. Make some stuff happen, and I think realistically that there is a starter, two relievers, and a bat, or a starter, two bats, and a reliever on the mound, or on the potential to happen. So it should be a pretty exciting / nerve-wracking, because obviously you get worried about who you're giving up, but
of course
hopefully they're controllable, and hopefully one of them is not Ramon Marquez. That is my
big time.
If one of my official positions, I hope that one of them is not Ramon Marquez.
I am with you. All right. Before we finish up, if you got any like take back thoughts, I'm not sure, but shout out to McLawson's Corner Bar and Grill. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and McLawson's Corner Bar and Grill. Check out McLawson's Corner Bar and Grill for every Phillies game and enjoy $3.50 Miller Lights and $4 Shandy Drafts. Enjoy the game while fueling up on their massive smash burgers and loaded tater tots. Miller Lights for Phillies win. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, do you have any take back thoughts or anything?
Of course.
All right. Make it happen.
Don't sound as disappointed. I got
no, it's all right. It's all right. I got a few more. I can anchor.
What'd you make of last night after the game in front of the reporters?
Donnie?
No. Dave going over to Harper and putting his arm around his shoulder.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes, yes. So according to TKS, Tim Kelly Sports, and Gelb, you know, Middleton,
brother.
Or not Middleton, Dombrowski went over, you know, in front of the reporters in the post-game feast or whatever, put his arm around him, Sure. I envision it's like a, I don't know how he did it. In my head, it is, you know, like almost you're ready to noogie him.
I'm sure it's super awkward, that I can guarantee.
So, and I guess that is in response to probably Gelb's article where they portrayed it as a 10-month Cold War.
Yeah, they don't like each other, according to Gelb. So, yeah. Or so, don't care for each other, I should say.
Care for each other's work, I believe, is how you wrote it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it feels like a bit of a photo op, letting everyone know that things are okay. But regardless, good to say.
We'll take it.
Wonder what the conversation was like. Do you think it was like, hey, just smile right
now?
Yeah,
it's bad. Hey, like, let's freaking get through this together, all right, dude? Yeah.
I'm gonna make a trade. All right, we get it. Speaking of Donnie, I'm glad you reminded me.
Jack. Don't worry. It's what I want. More time, but I know you need to get into it. So,
well, Don Mattingly before the game talking to Scott Fransky talked about how you know, I think we're an arm short with Brad Keller no longer being in the mix. Does that sound like to you? What? If you're just...
Well, you need help, buddy? Help?
Does that sound like Don Mattingly is saying we need some help out there? Or is he supposed to just do it by himself? Or can we just be honest and say, of course they need some help, which we know, and I get that Bryce shouldn't have said it. I understand. But maybe Don Mattingly should be more worried about managing the team than being the GM of the team. Maybe he should waive his no trade clause now and get him out of here, because that's what everyone wants to do now with Bryce. So, like, just as Bryce should talk after the game and say, oh, wait, hold on. Like, is he going to say maybe he should worry about being the manager and not the GM and light this whole thing on fire? Or are they going to just let it all go and turn into big boys down there? I don't know. But it sure seemed like Don Mattingly was asking for some help. In the bullpen, because of course they need help in the bullpen, because it's obvious, and you don't need to pick a fight with your Hall of Fame bound first baseman.
Agree.
No notes, thank you. Moving on. What would your reaction be if you get the notification tomorrow that Orion Kerkering's been traded?
I'm good. Yeah,
he is excruciating. And after the game, cursing up a storm, saying like, "I need to throw strikes." Well, then do it. Like,
this is nothing. So, you're in charge of that, buddy.
Oh, I hope that other teams will look at the ERA and the red on Savant.
Take him.
You want Kerkering and
contract that's controllable years. Make it happen.
Done. I will never put my support behind him again as a like breakout. I'm not doing it. I'm over it. I can only do some. I can only support.
You try. I think you work very hard. I think
it's just excruciating. Just excruciating. Really good Jose Alvarado moment. Great story by Zalecki today about how he gathered all the relievers out in right field yesterday and said, you know, it's on us. Like, we got to figure this out and throw strikes and be competitive. And I guess Tim Mace talked, the sheriff talked as well.
The sheriff.
So at least they're taking it upon themselves. And before the game yesterday, today, two pretty good bullpen appearances. So, hey, you take it. It's baby steps. Schwarber's back's definitely bad, right? Like,
He's got four homers since the All-Star break or since July 1st or something. Yeah, it's not good.
And I believe there's another Gelb article today just about how he's changed his on-field routine to preserve his back. Well, you know, that doesn't seem like the best situation in the world. So
maybe a home run derby, not awesome.
Well, yeah, again, had to do it. But yeah,
totally. We'll remember it forever, but
sucks because
it sucks.
for as much as the GI bad lettuce might have affected him, I do think the back is also affecting him as well.
I'm with you.
So that's concerning. And then final thing, try not to buy too far in, but I definitely want to buy in. How about BBL Smith?
So that's why I was, if you didn't say it, that was going to be my final thing. Yard today, a dead center, just crushes it.
I know.
Batting 450. I will say I like it. Look, I know he played in Miami, and that was probably part of it. But at the end of that Marlins series, when they lost the last game, and it showed the dugout, and everyone was just kind of like filing out and look lifeless, and he looks so upset. Like, he's like had his head against the thing, and he was like despondent. And I was like, well, at least someone cares. That's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
And I try to tell you, try to tell the audience, you squint, you see Jason Worth with this swing. I mean, it's just, it's the same kind of finish. I love it.
We're done, right? We're good. Well, that was it.
I do think he is playing his way into being a right-handed platoon.
I agree with you.
Like, let's say they go and trade for another lefty outfielder, Jake McCarthy or a Dalton Varsho, and with the way Marsh is hitting his lefties, you're probably going to need him anyway.
Yeah.
But Derek Hill and Crawford in center field, we'll see if Crawford's here post deadline. I do think there's a chance he's traded. And then, BDL, like, you can kind of make it work all over the place if you go and get another outfield bat, like a McCarthy or Varsho, if you go for the left-handed, option. Adele's probably an everyday guy if they went Adele in right field. And then, maybe BDLC and Marsh in left field.
Love it. All right. Tomorrow, obviously, is deadline day. But if you want to come out and see us, we're going to be at McGurk's in Horsham for the deadline show all day. WIP, there he is. Love it. We'll be there. I'll be there at 6 for the morning show. Jack, obviously. Jack and I will be on from 11 to 12 together for the IOPS Hour with Jillio. And Hugh, so if you want to come see us, come then. Mm-hmm. And then Jack will be there for the afternoon show. And then obviously the deadline will probably be recording as soon as Jack gets home or whatever it is. We'll figure it out. Whatever happens.
I gotta do
Tuesday morning. I don't know, whatever works. Tuesday morning works. Like, we will figure it out. But we'll be there, and depending on what happens, who knows?
Depends how big the trade is.
Maybe Dave makes no trades. I mean, I don't have to.
Well, that's a meltdown, Bob.
Yeah,
that's
I'm joking. All right, we'll be back whenever we need to be back, and it better not be in like 20 minutes. All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Until then, he's Fritz and Seltzer.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.